Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
Today we wrap up our teaching series, I'd Rather Not Talk About It, Mental Illness in the Church. We've spent the last few weeks exploring things like addiction and depression and anxiety. Last week we talked about suicide and self-harm. And I gotta say, it's been a difficult series to preach, but I've also appreciated some of the feedback we've received about these being really tangible things that people struggle with. Because we as a church think it's really important to talk about hard things, and we believe that doing that as a community together is a really important thing to do. And just a couple of reminders. One is, if any of these series have spoken to you and you need resources, we have resources in the back of the room. Along with that, anyone on staff would happily talk to you about anything that you're struggling with today. And if you need someone to talk to, just a reminder, I'm available. There's lots of others on staff. Lee is available. And do not hesitate to reach out if you need someone to talk to. But today, we turn toward caregiving and the toll that caring for our loved ones can take upon us. Now, a moment ago, Lee read the story, part of the story of Ruth and Naomi. And really, we stepped into the middle of the story. If you're not familiar with the story of Ruth, it begins a few verses earlier, and it begins with this family. They're living in the city of Bethlehem in Judah. There's Elimelech, there's Naomi, and there's two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And there's a famine in the land, which forces them to have to move. They move to the country of Moab, hoping to be able to have a life there, to be able to provide for their family, to be able to have food. And they've been there long enough, their two sons take Moabite wives, but sadly they didn't live happily ever after. First, Elimelech, the father, passed away, and then his two sons did as well, leaving Naomi living in a foreign land, too old to marry again with her two daughter-in-laws. So Naomi has a few options. She says, well, I could try to stay here and live as us three widows all living together. Maybe my daughter-in-laws will find other husbands. Or I can go back home to Judah and hope that the Israelite law that enables caring for widows will be enough to care for her, that she could live there. So she sets off and she says, I'm going to go back to Judah. I'm going to go back and live in Bethlehem where I have family and where I have community. And Ruth chooses to go with her. Ruth, who's not an Israelite, Ruth, who is a Moabite, Ruth, who has no blood relation to Naomi, chooses to follow her. She chooses to have her life completely changed in order to care for Naomi. Ruth's love for Naomi bound her to her fate. The story of Ruth is the story of sacrifice, love, and care done by someone who had no obligation to help. Ruth had no obligation to care for Naomi. The culture of her time, the laws of her time, it would have been totally appropriate for her to leave Naomi, go find herself another husband, and live her life and never see her ever again. Yet she chose to follow Naomi back to Judah to care for her, knowing that the road would not be easy. She chose to become her caregiver. If we read the rest of the story of Ruth, we find that it turns out really well for Ruth. It's a happy ending. But I don't know if Ruth knew that right away as she was making this decision. Chances are that we will all at some point or another be caregivers in our lives, be it by choice or because it is forced upon us by circumstances. According to estimates from the National Alliance for Caregiving, during the past year, 65.7 million Americans, or just for reference here, 29% of the adult U.S. population, served as family caregivers for an ill or disabled relative. Over a quarter of the population in the past year has served as a caregiver. And chances are that means that all of us at some point or another in our lives will end up being caregivers for a loved one. A caregiver is simply someone who takes on the role of caring for a loved one who cannot care for themselves. A caregiver sacrifices his or her time, energy, and love. And that is not always an easy thing to do. Becoming a caregiver is not easy. It can be an all-encompassing and life-changing thing that affects our entire lives. Caring for someone comes with a financial, emotional, and social strain. C- Compassion fatigue is a very real thing whenever you continually, day after day, give of yourself to support someone who's going in a difficult situation. It's not unusual for caregivers to develop mild depression as a result of the serious demands they are facing while providing care. Yet we know that being a caregiver is really important work. It's the work of sacrifice. It's the work of giving oneself for the sake of others. It's following in line with the love of Christ who gave himself for us. It is in many cases giving up yourself for the sake of the loved one and giving up part of your life in that moment. It is genuinely an act of love for that person. C.S. Lewis has written about the difference between what he calls need love and gift love. Lewis contends that many times when humans say to another, "I love you," that what they're really meaning is, "Well, I need you. I want you. You're really valuable to me." In other words, it comes with this sense of like, "Well, I love you in a sense that you complete me." Now contrast need love with what Lewis calls gift love. Instead of a love that's needed to fill an emptiness, this form of love comes from a fullness inside of you. Now, the goal of gift love is to enrich and enhance the person whom we love rather than extract some kind of value from them. In other words, it means we love simply for the sake of loving, not to receive anything in return. Gift love moves out to bless and to increase. Gift love is more like a well that continues to overflow and offer water. Lewis concludes that it is this love that is what God's love is all about. In other words, God's love is gift love, not need love. God overflows and keeps pouring forth love toward us. This is agape love. Friends, are we capable of agape love? That is, loving as God loves? Now, to a certain extent, I think we are. But this doesn't naturally happen, nor does that make it easy to happen for us human beings. For us to substitute gift love for need love, we must go to the source of love, and the source of all love is God. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." When you lovingly act as a caregiver, you're sharing the love of God with someone. But we do need to be realistic, though, because we all know we're not God, right? Did you all have that realization recently? I have it like every day. It's fine. Joanne Green shares about her time as a caregiver. She, along with her sister, cared for her elderly father and then for their mother, who lived to be 100 years old. Now, every caregiver's story is unique to their situation, which is often why whenever they're in the middle of it, the caregivers will feel alone. But at the same time, all caregivers share the risk of compassion fatigue. When asked what she had to learn to be able to cope with the constant need for her help, she gave the same advice that many caregiver supports give. She said, "Know your limits, learn how to ask for help." She also said that our caregiving, in spite of everything, is an act of love and can bring some incredible joy into your life. Friends, we want to be able to pour forth this love that God has given us, but it's so easy to find ourselves resentful, exhausted, or hopeless in the middle of caring for someone. When you wonder how will you ever be able to keep this up, it can make you feel guilty. In the beginning, maybe you were able to rise to the task, approach it with determination, but yet you may not have factored in break times, thinking that maybe you actually are a variation of Superman or Superwoman. How can we sustain ourselves as caregivers, either now or in the future? Friends, I think in order to do that, we must be filled up if we are to pour out that love for others. So I think as we think about being caregivers, there's some practical stuff I want to talk about. First, being a caregiver is rarely a choice like it was for Ruth, and it is okay as a caregiver to feel conflicted emotions about it. Caregivers can feel a full range of emotions. Everything from joy and love all of the way to bitterness and anger as the demands of caring add up. And being a caregiver is not easy. And even though caregivers, you may feel like you're doing the right thing and the noble thing, that does not mean that you will feel that way all the time. It's very common to have mixed emotions, and you may not always feel joy and love and happiness. That does not mean you love that person any less. It simply means that caring includes a great emotional, physical, and spiritual weight to it. Y'all, it's okay for those feelings to be there. Listen to them. Offer them to God. Don't bottle them up. I think bottling them up, that's how bitterness and resentment start to set in. Pour them forth in prayer, and don't feel guilty about those things that you feel in those moments of caring. Along with this, there's the mixed emotions where there's situations where it probably would be easier and perhaps even gracious for a loved one to pass and be with Jesus. You'll think lots of thoughts, and that is part of caring. Showing compassion every day is exhausting, and it is okay to step back if you need to. Which leads to the second thing about being a caregiver, which is you have to think about your own needs and your own boundaries. It's not selfish to care for yourself, y'all. Sometimes that is exactly what you need to do. I'm always reminded by whenever I fly, and you always have to watch that video about airline safety and the terrible event where the oxygen masks drop down. What do they always say? Help who first? Yourself first, and then you help your neighbor sitting in the chair next to you. In fact, caring for yourself is necessary if you're going to be a caregiver. I was reading one article that suggested when you become a caregiver, whenever that day comes, you make a list of things that you know you need to do to stay centered and healthy. You write that list down from day one, and then acknowledge you're probably not going to keep the list, but you can return to it, and you can be reminded about those things that you need to keep doing. You can be in the middle of a really hard day, and you can realize, wait, I haven't done these things that give me life and keep me going. You need to remind yourself of that. It can be really easy to lose yourself as you care for a loved one. Sometimes your whole identity can become wrapped up in caring that you lose yourself. You lose those things that you love. Yet the more you care for yourself, the more you're going to be able to care for your loved one. The third thing we need to remember is we need to ask for help whenever we need it. We read the story of Ruth, and we don't get all the details of her everyday life. We don't know what it was like for her to care for Naomi. But one thing we do know is that later in the story, as Ruth is trying to provide food for their family, that Boaz steps in to make sure that Ruth had all the food that she needed. She may not have asked for help, but help came in and it was provided. There is not guilt or shame in asking for help. There's not guilt or shame in seeking in-home care or simply asking someone to come and help you for an afternoon so that you can have an afternoon off or a weekend off. You need to make time for yourself and have times away to do those things that bring you love and joy. You have to be filled up so that you can continue to love and to give joyfully of yourself. Friends, this is where I think we as a community come together. We may not immediately right now be caregivers, but there are people in our community who are. There are people who are in our community who are going to be. And this is where we as a church community can come around and be the difference in a caregiver's life, even if we're not the ones doing the care right now. We need to be prepared to care for the caregivers. And I want to highlight a few ways we can do this. The first thing we can do is we can listen and be present with them. We can hear their stories and their frustrations and receive them without judgment. We can reach out and ask how we can be helpful and supportive, how we can be with them with what they're dealing with. Now, this is simply being a community who cares for each other. Being a good friend can go a really long way. I stole this story from Pastor Nancy because I think it highlights this beautifully. She tells the story of a recent Bible study where a woman in her community who did benefit from a community of care. Some of you may know Sue Ellen Nelk. Her husband, Larry, was in the hospital for 8 months. And every day, Sue Ellen would get up and she would drive to the hospital downtown to be with him, praying, waiting for answers, trying to figure out what to do. And y'all, 8 months is a long time to drive downtown every single day, to sit and to wait, wondering. But in this Bible study, they were talking about some of Jesus' parables, and they talked about the parables of the talents. Are you all familiar with the parable of the talents? How in this parable, three servants were entrusted by their master with five talents, two talents, and one talent, respectively. And talent in this time was a certain amount of money that was given them. And the master eventually returned and wanted an accounting for how they had handled his money. The kingdom lesson in the story is that Jesus will return, and we will be held accountable for how we use what we've been given. And then whenever Nancy invited the group to discuss it, another member of the group commented, "Well, I don't even think I have one talent." This prompted Sue Ellen's testimony. Because this person who didn't think they had any talent regularly and almost daily was by Sue Ellen's side as she went to the hospital. She and her husband would go down and sit with Sue Ellen and be with her and support her and pray with her and care for her. This person, along with others, became a community of care for the Nelks. And Sue Ellen tearfully expressed in that moment her gratitude for the God-sent friendship that sustained her and helped her through that time. Sometimes it doesn't require any kind of special abilities to do this. Sometimes it just means being present, being a caring friend to show the love of Jesus to them. The second thing I think we can do is we can offer to give someone some time off, depending on the situation. We can offer to help for an afternoon so that they can have time alone or to catch up on bills or other life things. We can offer to bring them a meal or offer to come and distract them from their everyday lives of caring. And then third, we can be a space where those who are providing care can simply come and receive love and care and acceptance. Y'all, everyone is going through something. And when someone is here on a Sunday, they may not have had the easiest week. They may come into Sunday morning worship exhausted and running on empty. It's good to check in. It's also good to allow someone just to receive this time of worship without feeling like they need to put on a happy face or even make it seem like everything is okay. When they provide care for a loved one each week, they may simply need to come and to receive worship and not feel like they have to do anything. Friends, we want to be a community of care, a community who cares for each other and particularly cares for those caregivers around us. And as I think back on this teaching series and have reflected on it and talked to people, if there is something that's come to the surface that I've realized, it's that, yes, there are some really hard things that we deal with in life. There's things we don't want to talk about. There's things that we don't want to engage in. There's things that have stigmas attached to them. But that when we can do these things and talk about these things and engage these things as a church, all of a sudden, things become a little bit, maybe not easier, but maybe a little bit more doable. Like maybe we can put our foot in front of ourselves one more day to get through that really hard thing. And you know, we at Middletown, we believe that the church is a place people can come and find support, hope, and love through these kind of difficult times. We believe that as a community, we can support each other through difficult times. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. That is the kind of community we want to become as a church. And the way we do this, the way we tackle these big issues is doing them one day at a time. The Lord's Prayer that we pray almost every Sunday here is a daily prayer. It begins, "Give us this day our daily bread." Not give us tomorrow's bread or next week's bread, but give us this day our daily bread. It begins with an opportunity for a new day and a new opportunity every single moment. Today, a possibility for God's mercies and grace. So as we come together today, I'm going to invite us to do something at least I've never done here, maybe you all have done before, something a little bit different. I'm going to invite you all to stand, everybody stand up, and I'm going to ask for forgiveness from the introverts right now, but I'm going to ask you all, and if you have to move to do this, that's okay, to join hands across aisles, to take the hand of the person, or if you're really worried about the flu, you can like touch elbows if that's what you need to do. I invite you all to look to the left and to the right and to see your brothers and your sisters in Christ. This is your community. This is who you're doing this together with. This is who's here to support you through these times. And now I invite us all, and I'm going to come stand over here by Matt, and we're going to pray together the prayer that Jesus has taught us together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.